Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know.
Thank you for coming. So why don't you tell our audience who you are, where you're from, all that good stuff before we get going.
Local Miami attorney, been here practicing my whole life, going on 13 years now in September. I practice primarily family law with some complex civil litigation mixed in. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much what I do.
Cool.
FIU here, all the undergrad, all the high school, everyone in Miami.
Florida born and bred.
That's right.
Where were you born? What hospital?
South Miami.
Me too.
There's a funny story. I was fishing on a levee with a bunch of friends, and we got stopped by Border Patrol.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
People come into those canals and dump people off. And the guy comes up to me and he goes, where were you born? And I was like, here in Miami. He's like, yeah, but what hospital? I was like, I don't know, Jacksonville? Okay, yeah. And that still wasn't going
to
work. Yeah,
straight to Chrome. Straight to Chrome.
Needlessly
suspicious. Tú tienes cara de inmigrante. Like, for sure.
Jesus. Cara de inmigrante. That's so funny. No, yeah, I was born in South Miami Hospital too. Where'd you go to high school?
Coral Park, and then I went my last year, I went to Braddock.
Coral Park. My sister worked at Coral Park like her whole life. She was a treasurer.
Cool.
Do you know the treasurer of Coral Park?
Absolutely not.
No.
Why? Do you owe money to the... Is this a public school?
She would fight with everyone, didn't pay their dues and
That's right. Didn't turn in her library books.
Library books. And didn't pay for graduation and the field trips and all that fun shit. She had to fight with people over money.
One of the people I went to school with is actually the...
This is a very Miami podcast right here.
One of the people, sorry, what Leslie interrupted
me. Aramis, he's the band director at Coral Park. I went to school with him.
Were you a band nerd, Padron?
Absolutely.
No.
What did you play? What instruments did you play?
Tenor saxophone, alto, and barry. I also played the oboe.
That's not a real instrument.
The oboe? That's the one you get the most scholarship for. It sounds like it goes...
She said like that's not a real instrument.
Do it. You were about to sing for us the sound of the oboe.
The oboe sounds like... It sounds like a little like a duck. It's not really a pleasant sound. I don't know why people like it, but it's very, very sought after. That and the bassoon, you know, those.
It's very sought after.
Yeah, because nobody wants to play that instrument, really. Everyone wants something like sexy, like a saxophone, or
the ugly duckling of the band,
or something. You know.
I learned something new. I've known this man forever, but I've learned something new today.
That's because he's here at Law Shit You Should Know. So anyways, moving right along. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, ma'am.
So you said family law. So what kind of stuff in family law, what does that mean for people? What kind of cases do you handle?
Divorce. These days, paternity. A lot of people are not getting married, right? So nobody gets married. They just have kids. So what happens
Definitely.
When you split?
For the audience, explain that. Because paternity is for when you're not married, but you have a kid.
That's right.
And so somebody baby mama, baby daddy, that kind of fun stuff.
And you want to establish your rights.
That's right. Your time sharing, child support, all that stuff is usually part of every family law case. But paternity is what we're seeing
And there's
seeing
like
more.
Responsible adults that want this.
I mean, the law presumes it. Right?
Somewhere. Adorable.
No. I mean, you get good people just at their worst. Like, fighting about everything that you've acquired during the last number of years. And not only that, seeing your kids and then the eternal battle is between men and women. Men generally don't want to pay for anything. They don't think things cost money, and women typically don't want to give you the kids. They don't ever want to. Only I could do it because I've done it all throughout the entirety of marriage.
I think that's a very 1950s version of a relationship, Chris. Not gonna lie.
it's what I see day in and day out.
If I ever have kids, you can have them.
That's what I tell my wife. I'm like, listen, you signed up for this, right? You get them half the time. So
you can have all the time, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
The only thing I'm fleeing with is my dogs.
I was like, Alina wants child support, but no kids. Like, no taking care of the kids.
That sounds excellent. Can I get child support with no kids?
Without any timesharing?
I think they call it alimony.
Well, you can talk about that, too, if you want. Alimony changed last year, so the law got revised.
Did it really? Yeah. Let's talk about that. That's a good topic. What happened with alimony?
So,
what is alimony, for anybody who doesn't know and is listening to us?
Alimony, the principle of alimony. Alimony was based on the concept or the theory of economic partnership. So when you come to a marriage or you come to a relationship, it has to be a marriage in Florida. Mm-hmm. We don't have common law a marriage here in Florida. That's against public policy. We don't recognize it. So if you start living in with your girlfriend and saying, hey, we're married, you're not married.
That's good. That's a good point. So for anybody listening not in Florida, it's when you become married just from being together for so long. So
so in Florida, you have to get married. And to get married, you know, you got to sign your marriage certificate. And, you know, there has to be
go to the courthouse, ceremony. And pay the dues. And
indeed.
And then, I mean, but this is like, you actually have to go to the courthouse, people. Yes. Okay? Like, this is not, you know, your babalao on the side married you.
Correct.
And then, like, you're married. No. Like,
I mean, you're married there, too, just not legally.
You have to be legally married in the state of Florida. And then
the commitment ceremony on the beach. The commitment ceremony on the beach is not
enough. This comes up a little bit in probate. Ese era mi esposo. And then, no era el esposo.
I see more in Hispanic people quite a bit.
You don't say.
Really, y'all? I'm an immigration attorney. Let me tell you how many people I got to tell they got to get divorced, or they've already committed bigamy, or they think they're divorced when they're not divorced, or they got divorced in another country that had no jurisdiction. This is my life every fucking day. Anyway, sorry.
And if you get divorced over there, it has to be something they recognize here.
100%.
It has to be not against public policy. For
100%. So then you get to Alina and she tells you can't do immigration papers.
Wait. What is a divorce against public policy?
Divorces by proxy, for example, in Dominican Republic, you can just...
Al vapor.
Como que...
Divorcio al vapor.
¿Qué?
Yeah. For anyone listening, that literally means... Divorce by vapor. Divorcio al vapor.
What does that mean? Like, what does it actually mean?
It means by proxy.
By proxy. You hire an attorney. They follow up paperwork. They go to court. You never see a judge. You just get your paperwork in the mail, right?
Are you divorced?
Yeah.
Was my spouse notified? Did they show up to court? Did they?
Sometimes.
Maybe potentially. Depends.
It depends.
Okay. Allegedly they were.
I've litigated quite a bit of these cases, and notice is a big deal. If you don't have notice, right, or you were not afforded notice.
You have to prove notice in that country.
That's
loco.
No, it's not that hard. I did one in Colombia. In Colombia, before you get married, you have to get notice of a mediation. And then you go to the mediation, and then you start your proceedings for divorce before you do anything.
Okay.
Una conciliación is what they call it.
Right?
International divorce.
Counseling and shit. You can't work this shit out.
So you get married, right? And then the Florida statute is 61.08, and it's need and ability. It has a lot of factors, and if you got enough time and money, you can go through those factors, but... By and large,
if you got enough time and money for your lawyer to go through those facts.
Yes, it's the facts.
No, but wait, before you keep going, this al vapor, I don't want to let this go yet. They call it al vapor in DR. That's specifically the DR term. But this concept exists in all kinds of countries. Yeah. It's not just in DR. That just happens to be the name. And it's just so funny that that's what I call all of them. But it's divorce by proxy, right? And the issue is, it's a jurisdictional issue, is what ends up happening. Do they actually have jurisdiction over you if you're not living there? And if the other spouse is not living there either, which is why I get to ding people all the time that they got divorced, but they're not really divorced because the court had no jurisdiction over them when they got divorced.
There's a way around it, though. The Florida statute has registration. So if you registered and they don't object within 45 days, you follow that statutory procedure.
Register for what?
A divorce.
Oh.
So it becomes a full force in effect. The better way of doing it is to file an action in family court to domesticate that judgment.
But that doesn't solve your problem if you've gone off and been remarried, because now that registration is the proper date for Florida and not the date of your remarriage. So I get to tell people all the time that they're bigamists without knowing that they are bigamists, because their divorce was not properly done. They're not actually divorced, or they registered it too late. And then they went off and married someone else. And now I have to send them to get an annulment, which I'm sure you also handle, and then get remarried, and then have to explain this all to immigration when we do immigration.
Fun papers. Sense of humor.
Fun
None.
Times.
No sense of humor whatsoever.
So there's also the best way to do it is through an action, because at that point you have a judge that hears everything, and you could write in your judgment the specific findings that you want. But generally speaking, the divorces are adopted through comedy, right? Not through a specific, like you have the full faith and credit of the other sister states. So you can domesticate those with the registration. But if you have a foreign judgment, you kind of want all those issues ironed out in your judgment. Mm-hmm. If they had notice, if they didn't have notice, if they waived the notice. Because a lot of times people don't really care if they've already separated and they already got their stuff separated, right? They just want it here. So they're not bigamists.
Yeah. And a bunch of the divorces, that there will be requirements in some of the foreign countries that they don't have to hit all the topics we have to hit. So there'll be like no provision for child support, or no provision for time sharing, or no provision for division of assets. It's like, you're divorced. Ta-da. Like,
and it's true.
And you're at a complete loss as to what to do next.
So going back to the alimony. So need and ability. There's a multitude of factors. But generally speaking, like I said earlier, unless you have an attorney and you have a lot of assets, there's really, mm-hmm. you don't really get to those factors, right? It's just need and ability for the majority of people with a house and, you know, some kids, not 20 properties, two corporations. And those people are definitely going to deal with all the little factors, standard of life. You need a vocational expert, a lifestyle expert. You need
a lifestyle expert.
That's true.
Oh, so how do you become a lifestyle expert?
You know, some people are just born.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a real job.
It's a real job. Again, you got to qualify them. Again, the family, unfortunately.
Real most, job.
Most people don't.
This is an Instagram job, I feel.
Well, again.
He's like, well, they're the best ones to testify.
They're generally sociologists and different people that study and do studies and are published. Okay. You got to Daubert them. Most people don't challenge them on Daubert, which I love to do. Because sounds made up, right?
A lifestyle expert. How many Louis Vuittons did you buy in 1 year? Like,
right? It's like that. How many vacations? How many how
I'd
many
be
different
fucked.
Things? Yeah. How much money did they spend on clothes and outings and eating out and, you know, nannies and
you're going to owe pledge
la-nana,
agreements?
Right, mm-hmm. La-nana, like they're doing
Nope, I don't owe pledge agreements, nothing.
She takes him on a lot of vacations. You know, he buys a lot of Louis Vuitton.
Pledge Agreements is her nickname for my husband.
Yes.
I'm sure you're very confused. His actual name is Jonathan.
His actual name is Jonathan.
My husband's name is Jonathan. She calls him Pledge Agreements. There's a long story there.
He was my opposing counsel. We had a Pledge Agreements case way back in the day.
Leslie and my husband have actually known each other longer than I've known either one of them.
Nice.
Yes, because
nice.
Miami is teeny tiny.
My condolences.
Oh my God. But so, Alina keeps him very well maintained.
Mama. That's also an increasing trend.
Yes,
well.
Is
that's,
it?
It's coming on.
I would not self-describe as a sugar mama.
a boss babe.
Boss babe.
Right. Oh, Chris, we're not doing well. You and
like
I.
That? You like that?
We're not doing well.
He said you a boss babe.
Hashtag times, boss babe.
The times have changed, man.
He says I am equal opportunity.
That's right, man.
He's like, I don't judge.
And going back to family, that's what the law is.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, my husband and I did a really fun role reversal, I think, at some point in our lives. When we met, it wasn't that way. We were a lot more.
He was my opposing counsel, Greenberg Troy.
Yes. Okay. My husband was at Big
On
Law.
A case that lasted almost 4 years. Like,
that's a long time.
Yes,
a lot of meat and confers.
Big Law, big
a
commercial
lot of,
lit.
You know, a lot of federal court. A lot of then we got kicked converse. Off of Moreno's calendar to Graham's calendar. It was never going to end.
But, you know, life has a funny way of evolving. Actually, I think we'd be a fascinating case with a divorce.
Right.
Because we started out with him making all the money.
Yeah.
And now we've definitely evolved to him being, you know, almost full-time house husband and deals with a lot of stuff in our house. I mean, nothing would get done in my house if it wasn't for him. I haven't washed a dish in like 4 years. But he's germaphobe and he keeps our house pretty spotless.
I've been accused of being the cleaning Nazi. Because the thing is, again, I like the house clean and orderly, and my wife doesn't quite care so much. It doesn't bother her as much as it bothers me.
The orderly part bothers me. The clean part, that's all him. We have like old Cuban grandma mopo in the corner of the house. Like, it's like our floors get mopped every day. Like, my floors get mopped. I have two dogs.
Right.
You could lick those dogs. They're cleaner than I am. Okay. They get baby wiped multiple times a day. My dog's paws are pristine. Those animals smell like babies.
What dogs do you have?
I have little dachshunds, little hot dogs.
I have an abomination. I have a Frenchie.
I have an abomination. They are ugly.
They
are not
ugly. Ugly dogs.
Oh,
anyway,
don't hate
us. Off topic.
All hate mail. All hate mail to Leslie at.
Come at me. I heard they're expensive as
come
fuck.
Come at me,
number
bro.
Number one. Para una cosa tan fea. No sé.
They come fea. Some son lindo.
This is like Mark Anthony, tan feo que está lindo. No, bro. No, that doesn't work for him or the dog.
My apologies to Mark Anthony.
Apologies to those that love Mark Anthony.
You know. So listen, we brought up a great topic though. Let's talk dogs.
Dogs?
So, what? I don't have kids.
Did we finish the alimony?
No. We're gonna come back to it.
We're gonna come back to it.
We can't let go of the dogs. Because I have two dogs.
Right.
I know I'm not the only crazy dog lady out there. We have no kids. But if we were to get separated tomorrow, I could tell you right now, the biggest fight would be over these fucking dogs.
And the judge would not care one bit about the
feelings but we would
dog.
Best interest of my dog,
nope,
okay?
Nope.
best interest of the dog.
I've written agreements, timesharing agreements, but it's property. At the end of the day, the court's going to consider it a chattel, like a toaster, right?
Like a
my
toaster.
Dogs are not
he
toasters.
He said like a toaster. Like a toaster.
Ouch.
100%. Like an old pair of shoes, and it's not worth as much as
all hate mail to Chris at
info at padroneforjudge.com.
Think about the premise, right? You got a dog. It's a used dog.
It's a used dog. It's not a new dog.
It's not a new dog.
My dog got back issues and shit.
Oh, no. Your dog is worth $5.
Right. My dog is worth -$5.
And you have to value it at market value.
What are you
so
kidding?
So what is the market value of somebody's adored
used
family
dog?
Pet, right? Like, how much would you pay for somebody's 4-year-old, 5-year-old dog? Like,
My dogs are 10 and 15.
Right.
Oh, yo.
In that case, you would have to pay me
you,
to take
you have a debt. That dog is a debt. Like, that dog is
well,
a
can
liability.
We discount it from the alimony? No. Full circle.
Well, there's actually points in different places where you can fight about the dogs in different
let's classes. Talk about it. Tell me. So how in, do I? Let me take some notes here.
In domestic violence, if it's registered as a service animal, you cannot award possession of the dog. The person that has the registration gets
my dogs are service animals.
Wait. Explica esto. Hold on. In domestic violence, so Dez beats you up, mm-hmm. and then who wants to say something about the dog?
So say Dez beats me up, yeah. and I want to keep the dogs, and yeah. can give me the
is
dog.
Is Dez your spouse? Because I don't know what's
yes,
happening
Dez
here.
Is
okay.
And then after that, if I have it registered as my service animal, the court cannot take that animal from me.
Oh.
So there's
but
no,
everybody
no
registers
answers.
These fucking dogs as service animals. And it's all bullshit. Does and the court actually look at
what
whether
bullshit?
It is
That's
a service
bullshit.
Animal?
The case that we did, really, the judge didn't care. She's like, who owns this dog?
Who owns this dog?
It's not a declaratory judgment. This is a temporary kind of stay away from people, right? So we had to remind the judge that she can do that. But nonetheless, it's a point. It's a complicated thing. And the judges really don't deal with it often enough to kind of know about it, right?
Let me tell you that not only are my dogs... One of them's an emotional support animal. The other one's a service dog.
Look at this.
And they're both registered under Santana. Ain't no Rodriguez in the paperwork
pledge
for these animals.
Is getting.
Let me be really clear who paid these adoption fees.
Boom.
Let me be really clear whose credit card pays these vet bills. Okay, so right. those dogs are mine. I'm
and
just
it,
saying.
And a lot of times you'll turn on facts like that because there's no documents of title for a dog. Like, what do you look for?
He ain't getting the dog.
Wait. My grandmother right. has a Russian Pomeranian. Right. Like, it came from Russia, and that fucking thing has a passport.
Bro. Yeah.
It has a fucking passport.
There you go.
I was like, what? People this dog spend... is more legit Wait, than I am.
Can we get a lifestyle specialist for the dog?
The dog costs a lot of money.
In certain
has
cases,
a good
yes,
life. Has a good life. The dog has a good life.
We almost got brought in on a case for the fight about the dog. And then they ended up backing out because we gave them a ridiculous retainer.
Who's
told
we?
Them, you and me.
You and me?
Yes, you don't remember.
Like, who's we?
I was
who's
all
we?
About fighting for this dog. I think it was a lobbyist that wanted, they were fighting about the dog.
Oh my God.
I remember.
Clearly, it was so memorable. Leslie remembers
well, you
all
know,
of that.
Well, you know, I have Alzheimer's, guys. I said DM.
All right, full circle. First, so let's come back to alimony because right. I took us totally off track, which is fine. But alimony. All right, so alimony. So I get to keep the dogs, but right. then I got to pay him.
Well, no, alimony
can
is...
we take into consideration the years that he spent supporting me before
yes,
I
can.
Started supporting
you
his
can,
ass?
But before we get there, the dogs, right? The dogs will be more than likely treated as chattel.
Yes.
And if you can't agree who gets them, the dogs will have to be sold, right? Right? Or alternatively, right, the judge can give them to one or the other and then compensate the other side.
Right, give you the $5.
Yeah.
$5.
The vet bill.
And a lot of times it'll turn out who's the one that takes them to the doctor, who wipes their paws, who does that. So your husband may have a good argument.
He's at the vet with them right now.
Who takes them to the vet, right?
But so, I pay that vet bill.
That's fine.
Fucking little mutts.
All right. So back to the alimony. Alimony is need and ability
so
is the primary factor.
Is alimony a totally separate analysis from any kind of equitable distribution? Like, do we
right.
split up assets first and
yes.
then still go, it doesn't matter that I got half the $10 million house. No, but I still need a lifestyle.
So family, the more you read
still
about
need
it.
My Louis Vuitton.
I still need my 5.6 vacations to that Galapagos.
To the Galapagos.
I paid for that shit
she
myself.
She pays for all this shit.
To the Galapagos, like, I mean.
Listen, when you don't have children, you
right.
get to live the life you want. I don't understand why more people don't get this concept.
So did you see the, You saw the iguanas running away from the snakes?
I did. I saw the giant tortoises. I saw the iguanas. I fucking snorkeled on a cliffside. I swam with sea lions, like, in the wild.
That's scary.
I have great video of them.
This is all the evidence against her in the alimony company. That she takes him on, you know, $50,000 vacations, yeah, like, four times a year, you know?
It's
like,
a trip to Africa.
Like, no.
The safari is on the bucket list.
They went, like, piranha diving or something in Brazil. No, hold on.
I wouldn't get in that water at all.
I'm a little bit of an adventure traveler, just a little bit.
But you should be careful because the Amazon has these catfish called Kandaru. They swim up your...
And then they open the little things and then you have to get them. You don't pee. Removed. You can't pee what in the water if you're a man. People? They don't affect women. They're only for men.
Terrible.
Right.
They swim up the urethra and then they get upset and they with the spines.
I won't be doing none of that.
From the inside out.
I won't be doing
fun fact you learned today from us, you see? Anyways, so back to the alimony.
So
you were telling me, right, she was asking.
The order. So there's an order to how you do the analysis.
Yes.
You do equitable distribution because, again, that informs what the income's there. You need to figure out what the net incomes are to be able to figure out what the need is, right?
Uh-huh.
So say, for example, you have $10 million and you have $5 million and I have $5 million. Well, I can assume that even if you put it in a CD, you're going to be generating at least 5% of that income.
Oh, they're going to impute income onto my assets.
Yes.
Oh.
Right? It affects your need. How are you going to have a need if you have five million dollars?
Taken to the Galapagos five times a year and I was bought five Louis Vuittons, Cartier. Well, hello, I have a need.
Dude,
my husband's
Louis Vuitton backpack is sick.
I know. Okay. I'm aware. I'm aware of his backpack collection.
He has a backpack collection.
Well, like Samantha Reese Cohen told me, you can certainly try.
Judge Cohen, you can certainly try, Mr. Pedro.
Listen, it's hard. It's a hard sell. But again, you get situations. Again, it's based more on the need than anything else. Because the ability is obviously, if you have no ability, there's no case, right? But again, you have to establish what the need is. And that's where it gets mushy, right? And to add further insult, because everything in family is perpetual shades of gray, right?
Oh.
You should not be forced to diminish your equitable distribution in order to pay your attorney's fees, for example, which is also the same analysis, need and ability. So...
You shouldn't be forced to spend down your assets to pay for
your attorney, which is also a component of alimony and equitable alimony and need and ability, that analysis.
So let's talk about ability, right? So this I'm going to keep using myself only because I think this is fascinating because we're a young couple, right? Like I'm 39, he's 40, like we're a young couple. And he is a former commercial big law litigator who made a hell of a lot more money than I did.
Because I need an associate.
Well, and where I was going to go is this is not the kind of relationship. We've been together 12 years. It's a long time. But it's not the kind of relationship where he couldn't go get a job tomorrow if he had to, right?
Right.
So what factor does that ability to just go back to the workplace present for most couples?
That would be an argument you would make. Because, again, imputation, you have to win an imputation argument, it's lost on a lot of attorneys. You think that, oh, it's just that he's not making that much money. He could be making more money. No, you have the right to work and not work, right?
Yeah.
And if the last 3 years of his marriage was, I'm a stay-at-home dad, then that's a problem, right? He's not going to be up to date with current litigation. He's not going to be up to speed. He's going to have a period of reintroduction, rehabilitation.
Hey, there are unlimited CLEs.
Yeah.
That he could take in about 3 months.
And then they're
free.
He's up to date.
Free on the Florida Bar
they're
website.
They're free on the Florida Bar website.
And they have a thing called rehabilitative alimony. You have to come up with a plan about how you're going to get back to that level.
She's going
to
pay for those free CLEs.
Nobody does the rehab. Nobody does the rehab. Everyone does
lump sum. Nobody does the rehab.
No.
Really? Why?
Because it's complicated. You have to submit a plan, and then you got to prove all the elements of your plan, right? The only time I've ever done it was for a nurse. She lost her certifications. She petitioned the court for $10,000 to get recertified and to do the updates and all that.
Yeah.
We put a plan together. Okay. We put it together and got it approved. So that wasn't a big deal. That one was a straightforward one because we had a goal. Because once she became her registered nurse again,
she could go get a job again.
She was making $80,000-$90,000 a year. So there wouldn't be an alimony. This wasn't a durational type case.
It wasn't permanent alimony. But
most people
want more permanent.
Ever? Anywhere?
No more.
I love that for us.
What? Why?
Who's us?
People in general,
both of you
society,
will be right?
Society.
What's going on here?
Listen,
I love this for society in general.
Well, like I was saying, so there's different types of alimony. Bridge the gap, which is
you're saying most people want a lump sum.
They do durational. That is the most common.
Okay, no, let's
you're going to give me $20,000 a month for the next 5 years, duration.
Yes.
Okay, no, I want to hear all the different kinds, because then we wanted to. So there's durational alimony.
Right.
There is permanent alimony.
Well, let's do the weird ones first. So Dale. Bridge the gap.
Bridge the gap.
Which is to cover from the transition from being married to being single, right?
Oh.
So for you to be able to get your house.
Go and find yourself in India and that kind of
stuff. Well, I don't know about all that, but certainly, certainly to be able to.
Eat, love, pray that shit. Okay,
no,
keep on.
Yeah, well,
he's like, Patron is like, no, my client's not paying. Okay. That's your fucking problem. Okay.
Alimony is disfavored because most households, it originally came up with when it was a single income home.
Sure.
You had a guy.
Again, 1950s version
right,
of marriage.
We're working,
right,
working, mom's at home, taking right. care of kids. Like, that's a full time job, yeah. too. So the law recognizes
working husband, stay-at-home mom, multiple kids. Yeah, very 19.
La renta está cara.
La renta está cara.
Struggle is real. Struggle is real.
Hashtag.
So everyone has to work. And everyone has to work.
Work.
It is. Sorry. And you don't see the kind of dependency that you used to see. When I first started doing it, I would see cases of people who have been married for 20, 30 years, and they come and get divorced, and that lady at 50 years old cannot.
Yeah.
Earn anywhere near what her husband has earned
sure.
after developing
sure.
a career
sure,
for 30
sure.
years, right? So,
sure.
like, you have to compensate that, but that's not the case
the
anymore.
The pay disparity.
So the law has changed because it's been disfavored a lot. Because you get cases like, for example, you've been together with somebody for 10 years, right?
I don't know that it's not the same. I think we've evolved somewhat, but it's not 100%.
I can assure you, the ones that are doing that are not in Miami-Dade County because you could not survive. That is something that I see when I go to St. Lucie, when I go up there to Jacksonville.
Wait, what are we talking about? Like stay-at-home moms?
Stay-at-home moms.
Oh, in Miami. Oh, you're saying in Miami te jodiste. Todo mundo trabajan.
Hasta los niños tienen que trabajar.
Hasta los niños tienen que trabajar.
That's right.
Abuelita también. Yeah.
We've lost the English-speaking audience now. We've lost
so
the English-speaking audience.
Everyone needs to work is the bottom line. Even the children, right?
Even the children.
It's bad. And that's the thing. It's not really applicable. So you don't see it so often in different cases. And it really is more offensive on the 10-year marriages than it is on the long-term marriages. Because the long-term marriages were back when things were different, right?
Yeah.
The 10-year marriages, you've been together with somebody. Say you were making $300,000-$400,000, right? And then your spouse didn't contribute at all during the marriage, right? Now that person gets an alimony. Why? Because what did they contribute? Did you have kids? Were you
clean
the
dog's paws? I recognize that there's value in not washing a dish in over 4 years.
The equity. Does it feel right? Right? Should that person get paid because they didn't do anything with their life for 10 years? Right?
I mean, I would have had to have a very sophisticated live-in cleaning lady and house manager and. Someone to drive my dogs to the fucking vet and all these other things.
He says, I guess.
I mean, you're telling me you don't see value in that?
Pledge agreements. Good luck selling that to a judge. It's not looking good. I mean,
with all due respect, it's the same argument that housewives made forever, right? Like that there's some value in the support they provided.
Right. No, 100%. Like if you have the economic partnership and you did that division of labor, it's absolutely something that's appropriate.
Wait,
right?
Are we saying that the fact that there's no kids in this is what would shift maybe some of this?
I think it's more offensive when there is a person that's not working, that's just a stay-at-home person.
A stay-at-home husband.
No, but not even that, because I've done cases where there's a cleaning lady, there's a
driver,
and that person is at home doing nothing.
Yeah, they're hanging out. That's what they're doing at home.
And that's a case where you would do an unequal distribution. You would look under certain case law. You could say, well, I can think of one case.
Whoa, we're back to the equitable distribution.
Yeah,
because
you can make these arguments everywhere, right?
No.
You could ask for unequal distribution. It used to be...
No.
They didn't contribute.
Unequal distribution. Because you a bump on a log, dude.
No, bro. But no, hold on. Because this is... Hold on. Because now I'm offended. Like, right. I don't even know why.
Oh, now you're
now
offended.
Now I'm offended. Right. Like, but hold on. You put up with that fucking loser. Right. If Dez did not work and didn't have any children and no dogs or nothing, right? And you put up with her for 12 years and now you're going to try to say unequal distribution because they never contributed to the marriage? That's your fucking problem.
But you'd be surprised. The one that won a lot of those cases were women, actually. Because if you ever think that a man doesn't like to pay, the one that likes to pay less is the women. Right? Not like, You will never see a more upset person than absolutely. A wife.
Absolutely. In a alimony. Oh, no. 100%. Okay. So, oh, no. I'll kill you.
The husband. Like,
I'll fucking kill you. Like,
in one of those cases, they found that the husband remained essentially idle, drinking large quantities of beer. It's in the opinion.
Large quantities of what?
Of beer.
So tell me about that, though. You mentioned that. So they eliminated permanent alimony. When was this?
July 1st of 2023.
And why?
It's been, again.
So if you're a bump on a log, bro, you can't be on my payroll forever.
Largely disfavored. Because, again, the circumstances for a permanent award were really hard to prove. And then when you get them, it's very, very difficult to undo them. And people didn't find them fair.
Yeah.
Because I was together with you for 20 years, not for the rest of your life. I mean, I didn't sign up for that. Like, I'm going to be taking care of you forever.
Oh, but you did.
No, again, remember, what goes around comes around.
Lead us like you, but you did.
So again,
that's exactly what you fucking signed up for.
Right. Let me remind you.
In sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, my again, friend. That's how that shit goes.
Right, rhymes.
That was on purpose.
There was a presumption against permanent alimony, unless there was any other, if there was any other form of alimony that would be appropriate to do justice between the parties. So okay. It was tough to get it, right? Even though you were married 30, 40 years, also remember, go back to the need and ability analysis, right? So if you can have the most need in your world, but if your man is making 50 grand, I'm sorry, that doesn't cut the mustard, right? But you'd be surprised. They do mental gymnastics, and then you go ahead and you do some funky math, and then this guy's paying $1,000 a month, right? And you're like, wow, that's like 30% or 40% of your income. Another thing was...
Wait. Does alimony even come into play when people are not that wealthy?
You would think it wouldn't.
No, I would absolutely think it wouldn't. What? I mean, if somebody's making 60... What alimony? What the fuck are we talking about right now? I can barely pay rent in Miami.
It's true, but you'd be surprised.
Your ass better move to fucking, like, West Coast somewhere.
You stick it all in the petition, and then you have to deal with it, right? And then people get bullied into doing it because they run out of money. And then... To defend yourself, you would need a forensic account. Say you have a small business, right, and the business makes $400,000 a year. You're like, he makes $400,000 a year. No, it doesn't. There's expenses. There's cost of goods. There's all these different things that you need to take out. But for me to defend that case, I need a forensic accountant to come and do the analysis and tell me what are the add backs, because everyone pays like their mortgage and like, their car.
Add backs.
Yeah.
Add backs.
I like that.
Right. So you add that back because that's not a proper deduction. You're only allowed to deduct all the expenses reasonably necessary to generate the income. Not what the IRS lets you do. Depreciation? We're not doing that. Right? Not in an income analysis. No.
Interesting.
Right? And then there's other tax concerns when you sell big properties. For example, if it's over $500,000, you're going to get the long-term capital gains because you're above the cutoff, right? The $500,000 cutoff.
So the exclusion.
You need an accountant. So now you're looking at 12 grand to defend your $400,000 a year business that gives you $100,000 clean. Right?
Wow.
So people give up. And they're like, how much do you want, bro? Just make it stop.
What do you want?
Make it
how
stop.
How much will it cost me to get you the fuck out my life?
That's right. And there's a price. There's a price to peace.
There's a price.
There's a price to peace.
Oh, is that what you tell your clients?
No.
There's a price to peace.
I like that.
I like to fight all the way to trial.
I feel like if this episode is going to be named, that's the name. There's a price to peace.
His favorite thing to tell people is set it for trial. Set it for trial. It's like true. Everything is set it for trial. Why are we arguing about this?
Yeah, put it up. Put up or shut up. It's not what happens when you can prove. Show me what you did. What do you got? You got some proof? And you'd be surprised. They can't.
So the person, the other spouse that has not made any money, because I see need and ability to pay. Right. I'm not hearing anything about the other person's, I guess that's what you were talking about. It gets imputed.
It gets imputed. But to impute it, you have to show that it's something that they earned before, firstly. Secondly, that they did it for the purposes of making themselves poor to be able to get the alimony.
No, but they didn't do it.
Right.
They're just... Whatever.
It's not enough to say voluntary underemployment. You have to show an intentional.
An intentional, like, I'm not working so that I can hit you up for alimony. How are you supposed to show that?
It's why
you would never fucking show that.
You can't show that. It has to be super obvious.
So I mean, family court. No, I had one that the lady that we talked about that was going to be the nurse, right?
Uh-huh.
In the middle of it, she decides that she gets her license and she quits and she's now a parkour instructor.
Okay. Right?
A parkour instructor.
¿Qué es eso?
Jumping and flipping, like. What? Street acrobatics, for lack of a better word, right? So she was making $12
an hour. This is a job. This is is not a job, guys.
100%. And she
so she's employed.
Wait, what? Yeah. What is this called?
I thought he was saying like a parking. I was like, she's valet?
Have you seen The Office?
Una parqueadora.
Have you seen The Office?
No.
With Steve Carell, he jumps around the office and goes, parkour. Right? And it's flipping off of like sidewalks and grinding off of things.
Right? Like, this is a real thing, job.
Bro, I don't know what to tell you. I've never taken a class. I'm not vouching for the efficacy of this workout program, right?
This is like a fitness thing.
It's like people that rollerblade, right?
She quit her nursing job.
Yeah.
Her fucking RN licensed nursing job.
It's worse. She didn't get the job. She got recertified and said, I'm in love with my trainer. I'm going to be a parkour instructor.
I'm in love with my trainer.
So in that case,
your alimony ceases to exist.
Again, he was making a lot of money.
Unless they get married.
But the judge agreed with me that she did that on purpose, right? Because she went and got the certification, bro. And then you didn't go forward with it. You became a parkour instructor. That's what you did. The court can't tell you what to do, but I'm gonna make $80,000 as a nurse. Right?
He found fulfillment.
Well, I mean, love is love, right?
Love is love.
Sometimes there's parkour instructors.
That's great.
You're gonna live in a cardboard box.
You do that shit on your own time, bro.
I mean, you can find happiness in a cardboard box.
Well, that's true.
I'd rather
find
it at the Galapagos.
With your instructor.
But not if
you're not on my money. Not with my money, you're not gonna find that.
You know, money isn't everything, guys.
It's true.
We'd all rather cry in our Mercedes, but money isn't everything.
It's a lot of things. Don't let her lie to you.
Daniel Tosh is like, money doesn't buy happiness, but you know, it's hard to be sad like on a wave runner. He's like, have you ever tried to cry on a wave runner? You can't cry on a wave runner. Like, it's not possible.
Exactly.
So, have you ever seen somebody upset on a wave runner on a jet ski? Not once. Nope. Never. They don't exist.
That's right.
Agreed.
So going back, so we got that. The permanent alimony got outlawed.
That's right.
Bam, done.
Permanent's gone. You explained bridge the gap. So let's talk about rehabilitative is this thing with the nurse,
yeah,
right?
It's just basically a plan. I need to
That
to
did
school.
Not work, for what, the record.
What
it
is
did
durational?
Not work.
What is durational?
Durational is for a set period of time.
So, and then lump sum
20
is,
Gs for 2 years.
Right.
Lump sum is usually...
Here's some cash. Get the fuck out.
Well, generally speaking, it's like, I want the house. So give me the house instead of paying me durational for a certain amount of time. I'm gonna take it all up front. I'm gonna take it in this. You take a haircut on the amount because time value of money, obviously.
Money now
is better than in the future. What if he loses his job tomorrow? What if he gets hit by a bus, which happened to me in one of my cases, by the way.
Oh no!
Wow.
I was divorcing a 96-year-old man.
No.
And his wife was 60-something. And I had the pleasure of calling opposing counsel. Not the pleasure, but it was an awkward situation, right? And I'm like, hey, I call her up. Your client died. She got hit by a bus. And he's like, no way your client died before my client died before yours.
Oh, the 60-year-old.
Mine is 96. She was stalling it to see if he would, kick the bucket.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a strategy I think you should employ.
Wow. Wow. She got hit by a bus. Right. So, in that case.
Did not work.
So, in that case, you end up dismissing the case. So, in case you ever wondered, what happens if one of the people getting divorced dies? Unless you bifurcate it before the person passed away, case is dismissed.
Because the party that's still...
So they're still married.
Well,
so
the person who passed away gets everything, no?
Yep. No, the one that passed away...
I'm sorry. The person who survives gets everything by default.
100%.
Even if, this was a terrible divorce that had been going on for 10 years.
Oh, but that's something more for you guys with respect to...
No, you guys is too many people. Look over there.
Intestate succession.
In my immigration world, none of that fucking matters.
Half-bloods get half as much, all that stuff, right? This elective share.
Fantastic.
I like this concept of ad-backs.
Ad-backs.
I wrote that down.
It's frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Well, what's
mean?
Interesting?
Wait, what's frustrating? Tell me.
Well, it's tedious.
Because you got to tell people.
It's what comes
like, you don't get to take 100% deduction on your vehicle. That's your only vehicle. Like, you use that for fun. You use it to go out on the weekends. I use it for work too, right?
Sure.
Or I went on a vacation, right? And I talked to somebody over the phone, so I want to deduct the whole vacation.
Right.
Like, it's frustrating. Because there's a lot of discovery, and the only way to prove that is to go through
all the litigation. That's what I was going to say. I mean, this seems like tedious. Factual litigation is expensive.
But you can absolutely argue some of this shit. Like, I mean, listen, yes, I use my car for everything, but I definitely drive to and from work more than I use it than anything else. Like, it's not 2050. Sure. Like, this is, I
and
mean,
they'll
2080.
Figure out a very nice percentage of what
percentage
of the
time. Oh, I was about to say, it's not a
it.
Yes or no. Like, well, it's a percentage,
it's
right?
It's a forensic accountant that's going to charge you a lot of money to tell you, well, like 30% or 40%. And then I had him, back when Ike was in, Judge Ike was in family, I had a forensic that I was like, I just got to, because everything was made up. Like, so it was frustrating because he didn't have any support. He's like, based on my experience, this is what I think should be an appropriate business deduction. And I asked him, I'm like, how many miles is it from his house to the business? And he's like, I don't know. How many clients does he visit on a daily basis? I don't know. Did you look at any schedules? Did you look at any memos with respect to his outings?
Yeah, to figure it out.
So how did you come up with this figure? My agent experience.
My agent experience.
Right, I've done this Excellent. For 20-something years. All these years, I'm like, Bible. You know, and then you gotta look at a judge and be like, yeah, and he's like, that sounds reasonable. I was like, what do you get mad? And then nobody wants to do the appeal.
So what happens, like, what happens with the Louis Vuittons? Like, do we fight over them just like their property too?
They're worth more than the dogs, babe. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, right now.
My wife has a collection. Frustrating. I tell her, your wallet or your purse should never be worth more what you have inside that purse, right? Like, and she's like, shut up. I didn't ask your opinion. Buy me the next purse. This one has a cute little strap with a chain, and the L turns sideways, right?
And you don't know Des, but Des is this cute little thing. Who I can absolutely see, if there's going to be domestic violence one day, is she beat him up. Like, she fucking beat him up.
She's funny. I say in Spanish, I go, you know what, she's so grumpy. Porque genio está concentrado. So in English, for the English listeners, is that she's so grumpy because all the anger is concentrated.
Because she's little.
She's 4'10".
She's,
right?
She's tiny.
Oh.
I tried to convince her to put in for disability parking. I think she's a dwarf, right? So we can park up front. She won't do it. She's like, how dare you?
How dare you say that to
that's
me?
That's a great point. How tall are you? How short you got to be, I guess?
I believe it's 4'10". That's the cutoff.
Oh, like, my sister's 4'11", man.
4'10". I'm like, I'm going to park up front. Everywhere we go.
Well, you know, I wouldn't use it for the handicap spots, but fuck those meters, man. Yeah. Fuck those meters. That's just paying the government for no reason.
But
fuck
everywhere,
those meters.
You know, the handicaps don't have meters, right? Like you can't like.
Oh, but you can park in a regular meter, and as long as you have a handicap symbol, oh, really? Like, it doesn't matter.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
No, you didn't know. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The Lasha you should know.
The Lasha you should know. Yeah, no. So you can park if you have a handicap placard. You can park anywhere because you don't have to pay the meter.
That's
so
right.
You don't have to take up a spot, like, especially for people who are handicapped but aren't, like, a physical disability.
Right.
Or, like, it's a minimal physical disability. They don't need, like, a wheelchair. You don't really need the space to get the wheelchair out. So you shouldn't park in that spot. You can park in a regular spot, but you don't have to pay the meter.
But I didn't know that. That would be fantastic.
And then, like I
then
said,
you don't
fuck,
have to feel guilty about
fuck the city of Coral Gables. I am fucking paying them.
$65 tickets in Coral Gables, babe. Just get on with it.
But listen, I've tried this math, and let me tell you, I know it's a little outside the scope, but but if you don't pay the meters, like, ever...
Right.
Okay, the statistical percentages, by the time you get a ticket,
free
which you will get one. You will get a ticket. But they're far enough apart that it's not worth paying the meters. You heard it here first. I did this math.
I don't know. This might work anywhere outside of Coral Gables. These people are mercenary.
Downtown.
I did this math.
Downtown, the tickets were $18. And
there
I was
you go.
Like, and I had to pay for the whole day and re-up on the
In Coral Gables,
the
they're like 36.
But something. They would never enforce it, especially if it rained. If it was raining, oh, man, you're scot-free.
Ain't nobody standing in the rain to write your ass an $18 ticket. That ain't worth it.
So it was 16. No, but it was. I went for like 6 months without paying the parking. So then I got one ticket. I'm like, worth it.
Worth it. Rain. That's what I'm saying.
You got me.
I agree. You know how much parking is at these damn places?
Well, but now the ticket went up to, like, I think it's like $40 or something.
It's 36,
like
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah?
I could be wrong.
If you don't pay on time, it's like $65.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you could fight it.
Walk out.
You could fight it.
You could fight that
one.
You didn't pay it on time?
I fought a ticket once.
That you didn't pay on time?
No, I showed them
What
the
is your
thing.
Excuse?
Again.
Okay, that's another episode.
Never mind. Let me shut up.
So again, length of the marriage is important, right? Because again, obviously, shorter marriages, less deserving of an alimony award.
What is longer. Short? What is short? Because let me tell you, I love my husband, but 12 years is a long time.
Yeah, mommy, so, I've been married with my wife now 17.
So I mean, you feel me? It's a long time,
together,
man.
Together 22.
It's a long time. That's
it's
a long
forever.
Time. It ain't 50 years, but it's a long time. So when you say short and when you say long, what does the court mean by short? Like, right. In the perspective of family law court, right? Right. What
is... So before the statute changed, I think it was 7 years, and then up to 17 was the cutoff for the long term. Anything okay. over 17 was long term. Okay. 17 to Coño. 7 was moderate. And then 17
years
short.
Is a long time.
Okay. Right. So I'm in the moderate.
That's how it used to be.
It's a fucking lifetime.
Okay.
That's how it used to be.
Used to be.
Right, when you had permanent alimony and the sure. sky was a limit. More than 50% of the person's disposable income was too much. That was the only rule we had back then. So that's okay. why we needed to revise it, because every other state has revised it. And we had been putting it on the ballot a number of times every year and nothing. Till last year. Last year it got through and it was good. So now, short-term marriages now are 10 years. Up to 10 years is short-term.
That's short?
Yeah. And then...
Coño, pero hay que tener un poquito de aguante. If you want some benefits, 10 okay?
10 years like, is a long time.
Right, but there's wrinkles that makes it better. So watch.
That makes it better.
Yes. So... if you're married up to 3 years, there's a presumption against alimony. So the burden becomes oh. that of the person trying to move for it, right? And then beyond 3 years, but less than 10, it is alimony. It's in play, right? There's no presumption against it or for it.
At least some of these right. rehabilitative, durational, whatever, work, whatever. Okay.
Right? And then from 10 to 20, and then beyond 20 is long term, right? So, and what changes, it's still limited to now we have a guideline, right? Which is 35% of the difference between the net incomes of the parties. That is the maximum you can get.
35%.
Of the difference. So you make 10,000, they make 3,000. We do the difference would be 5,000. Mm-hmm. Multiply that times 0.35, 35%. That is your maximum monthly alimony award.
Oh, interesting.
So it's an easier way to figure out, like, this is what you're looking at. Because before it's like, well, you know, more than 50 is too much.
Right? Like, no shit, more than 50 is too much, bro.
Because, again, there was this whole trend back in the day to try to equalize the incomes. And then the court says you're not supposed to do that. It's need and ability. What do you need and what's the ability to pay that need, right? And the judges were like, well, we're just going to equalize the incomes because it makes sense. It's easier to mathematically to do.
But those, you have to have both things, right? Not just the need or the ability. You have to have both.
Because
you
can have all the ability.
That happens a lot, actually, yeah.
I mean, full circle back to pledge agreements, right? Ability is absolutely there. But
and he makes no money. There's and he great makes need.
So there's great need. Like if we were to divorce tomorrow, right? See, this analysis, see, exactly. right?
Well, thankfully, most cases there's a lot of need and no ability. So that's everybody needs, right?
Everybody needs, baby. True. This is true. This is
times
true.
Are tough, man.
I keep hearing this from you.
Well, it's just what you see what people are dealing with. Like, right. And you haven't even done any children's issues or any of that other stuff that it's like, I need a psychologist and I need a therapist for this and, supervise that and evaluation por acá.
And who paid for the fucking soccer practice and who paid for the...
daycare, in case you guys are wondering, right, is a mortgage payment. Right, like fuck it's ridiculous.
Yeah. My dog's daycare used to be a fucking mortgage payment. Back in the
face. It's a dog's daycare.
They don't go to daycare anymore because he's a house husband now. But right. before it was a house husband, those dogs went to daycare.
And all that,
doggy,
that
daycare.
Doggy daycare.
Because they couldn't stay home by themselves.
No, they have anxiety.
Oh, they have anxiety.
Let me ask you, do you have a stroller?
Fucking yeah.
I do not. I do not.
My brother's ex had a stroller. Mm. And I was just looking at him and
saying, my mom's got it. I bought my mom a stroller for hers.
She has shoes, little water shoes. So he
oh, I've tried
feet.
Those, but they get upset and they don't understand them.
They walk confused. They're
yeah,
like,
they get
this?
Confused.
What have you done to me?
They don't understand the shoes. They get very upset. I tried once.
I'm a doggy daddy. I spend all day with my dog, all day long. I take her out. I talk to her like a person. She wheezes.
Those things love you.
She wheezes. Because she's an abomination. Ugly ass dogs. Aww. Don't even breathe right.
She can't breathe right.
those animals love you unconditionally until the day they die. Dude, children are not that thankful.
Oh, no, they're not. They're definitely not.
Children are expressive not that thankful. And she looks at you and her eyes are all pop. Because it's a Frenchie, right?
Does she drool?
No, she doesn't drool.
Oh, thank God.
She doesn't drool. When I'm mad at her, I call her Voldemort because she got no nose. She's like, where's your nose, bro? You don't have a nose. She tries to bite you and she can't. She's like, because she's got no beak, bro. She's got no nose.
This is like a defective dog. Like,
so I call her an abomination.
I don't even understand.
I love her to death, but she's
really
an abomination.
I don't understand.
She jumps in the pool, she got real adventurous, and she's like, I'm jumping in the pool, and then she starts swimming, and then slowly sinking. She was slowly sinking.
I feel like the this is a classic clip for this podcast with all three of us pretending
this podcast
to swim,
is off the rails.
Swim with the dog.
What is happening here?
So, yeah, I mean, but people are very, very touchy about their animals. And like I said, it's a thing. We deal with it. The judges don't really have much humor for it, right?
The judges do not have the patience for this nonsense.
Like, I'm fighting about kids and dealing with people's houses and stuff. You want to talk about a dog? Like, there could be, there's better, there's more important uses for my time.
It depends who you ask, though. Not going to lie. Depends who you ask.
Not the judges, apparently. No. Don't ask the judges.
They don't. I mean,
okay,
everyone
back
knows
to
about
back to the actually no. Forget alimony.
Fuck alimony. Let's be done with the.
No,
alimony.
No, I'm not done with the alimony. But yep. Back to because we talked, and actually, I thought one of the most interesting things that you told me about. We were talking about you bringing you onto this podcast. Aside from the fact that he's running for judge, everybody vote Judge Chris Padrone. On what date? What day do we vote for this?
We'll tag you and shit. Don't worry.
August 20.
That's the election, yeah.
Okay.
It's a primary.
Random day. Okay. In the middle of summer vacation.
This is Florida.
All right.
Whatever.
All right. They don't want you to have a good turnout, apparently, or else they change that date. But
isn't it like a yes or no vote in Florida? Oh, no, because it's the first time you're right.
If you ask most people, it's a nini, mini, money, mo.
Right. Well, the retention vote is the yes or no vote.
Yes.
Yeah, the retention vote.
For the superior
vote. But if there's nobody running against you, who cares if everybody votes no? ¿Qué pasa?
No, that's it. You automatically. That's
yes or no doesn't matter. Like, you stay.
Qualifying is actually April 26th. So if you don't have an opposition, you won. Right?
Yay.
And I think there's only three races that are opposed. It's Jason Block and Peabody.
Jason Block, is this poor guy always running opposed?
He's been running.
I feel like this is from back in the day. He's always running opposed to somebody.
He's run like three times, I think, in the last three cycles, I think is when he's
God,
run.
I'm not in this world, but yeah. But I remember that name. Going,
Wait, so you lost your train of thought. So other than the fact that he's running for judge, which you want everyone
yes,
to know,
other than
to
the
vote,
fact that vote for
you were going to say something after that.
Dr. Padrón.
We'll tag your yeah. vote things and all yeah. that jazz.
There's a lot of stuff
down here somewhere.
In the domestic violence world, right? And first, I think for those of us that do not practice family and do not understand any of this, right? Let's say, you know, Dez gets really angry. You didn't buy her new Louis Vuitton.
Well, she told you the anger
she
was concentrated.
You. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, she knocks you. Somebody calls. I don't know who calls. The police, whatever. So they come, and what do? They separate you. Somebody's got to go. Does everybody get arrested? How does this usually work
out? So there's criminal and civil domestic violence. So,
oh.
And now there's...
it's not all criminal?
No. And then there's risk protection orders. That's a new thing that came out.
Pero,
right?
Well, what is a civil domestic violence?
A restraining order. So you can go, anybody can go file a restraining order. The law says that you can go to any courthouse. They can't charge you for it. There's no filing fees. They have a dedicated crew of people to help you file your restraining order. And that's it. And then the judge will review it, and if it presents a prima facie case of domestic violence under one of the many statutes, usually 741.30, which is domestic violence. We live together, we're related by blood or marriage. And there was an incident of violence.
For anyone who doesn't know what prima facie means, he means like the base requirements on a very, very basic level under the law. If you check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you preliminarily.
Oh, so if I like go hit my sister, that's domestic violence as opposed to just a regular assault.
That's be a regular battery if you actually. Yeah.
Do you live together?
Again, related by blood or marriage, or living in the same place.
Or it's an or.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an or.
It's not and.
I thought it was an and.
No, because you could be complete strangers and you're living together as family, like friends and family or whatever.
No, right. I just assumed the other one was that you can't be family and you would have to be family and live together. Not just like you went and beat up your sister at her house and then left. That's still domestic violence.
No, because
like,
think about it. If you're
how is that domestic violence?
If you're not married with your husband, but you're living together and you have a kid and he hits your kid.
Right.
You can get a restraining order against him because he lives with you, but you're not related by blood, right? And you're not family, right? So these are things that happen. So related by blood or marriage or living together is generally the rule, right? And that's your standard 741.30, right? That's the assault, aggravated assault, battery, aggravated battery, sexual assault, sexual battery, aggravated sexual assault, aggravated sexual battery, false imprisonment, kidnapping, or any other crime that results in physical injury or death, right? Like 741.30 is the definition. So
and does it include emotional injury?
Or no. Emotional, no. Again, there's actually a lot of case law that says that mere disagreeable conduct.
Psychological abuse.
Disagreeable conduct.
Yeah, really.
I take issue here.
Of course she does.
I take issue here. There is such a thing as psychological abuse. So there's no protection under family law for psychological abuse?
Not for psychological abuse. If you want to allege psychological abuse, it would be under Chapter 39 for something like against a child, right? There's adults, again, it's like the whole
as adults, IED. Go fucking somewhere else. Go live with your mama.
This is so fucked. No, so I got problems here. I need to talk about this some more.
Wait, there's more.
Wait, there's more.
Read carefully and read on. Right? So there's a part that will catch what you're talking about, right? It's called the reasonable fear. So you have all that. You either been a victim or you have the reasonable fear that you're going to become a victim of domestic violence, such that you need an injunction, right?
But it's more than just Dez is mean to him, bro.
Right.
But there's so much more. Okay, y'all have a very simple... I'm sorry, Dez is mean to... Fuck Dez being mean to him. That's a very simplified... Very, very, very simplified version of psychological abuse. Okay, right. So psychological abuse absolutely exists in my world. And here's why my comparison is so different. What you're saying just doesn't mesh with my brain at all. Because I file what we call VAWA applications, self-filing violence against women. Right? Which includes men. By the way, my office files more male VAWA cases than female ones at this point in time. But where I'm going with this is that sure, yeah, you know, you hit me, you rape me, you sexually assault me. All these things are obviously domestic violence. But there is absolutely psychological violence that could happen that never results in someone lifting their finger. So picture it from my perspective. I'm an immigration attorney.
But with VAWA, they're holding you basically hostage because if you leave,
well, I was about to say, let me give you a classic example in the world that I live in is, hey, Chris, we're doing it this way. And if you don't do what I say, I ain't giving you papers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, but when there's not that threat or leverage of papers...
Then there's the threat of, I'm going to kill your kid. No, I'm going to kill your dog.
But that goes back to the fear of harm.
Fear of harm.
Not and just psychological, whatever. But who says
that that fear of harm is reasonable?
So, that's exactly right. It's an objective
standard.
That's
my point, you know? Like,
but it's one thing to say, for example, I'm going to kill you, watch yourself, right?
Sure, that's an actual threat.
On the phone and you're in some other place, right? That is not a threat. That is a threat. Again, assault has to have the apparent ability to carry out that threat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hurt you on Tuesday is not an assault, right? Right. But if you have a bunch of those, right, that's harassment, that's that acrimony, right, the judge may feel that you're reasonable if that's coupled with any small overt action, punching a hole in a wall. That's
not a battery. What if there's nothing physical?
That's not
I mean,
physical.
You know, you've seen
you're
the power.
You're mad, you punched a wall. People do that. Men do that all the time. Punch holes in walls and doors. And then, like, I was just mad. I punched the door. I'm like, yeah, you don't see how people can be afraid. The fact that you punched a hole
in a wall. Dude, it's not just that. Like, I feel like I could go an hour on this. There's a million different things, all of which appear if you go look up, like, the power and control wheel, right? I'm sure you've looked at this before. Yeah. And there's a million things on the power and control wheel, like hurting pets. Controlling your finances, you know, controlling important paperwork.
That's on the list.
But those are all psychological abuse.
But it's something that would give a reasonable person fear that they were going to become a victim of domestic violence. If they can't kick
controlling
dog,
who
right?
you controlling who you hang out with, controlling what you can do, keeping you from going to work, keeping you from
I've dealt with
family
overall,
members.
If somebody
like,
doesn't have that kind of leverage over you, you need to fucking leave this whatever piece of shit. That you're dating or with
fantastic.
Or whatever.
Fantastic, we can all agree to that. But if you're anyone who's ever worked with domestic violence, like true domestic violence victims, which I have, and it sounds like Chris has as well, you don't sit with someone and go, bitch, you need to get out, and they listen.
So you're going
like,
to go file restraining orders and injunctions?
That's the opposite of how domestic violence works. If that were the case, they would just walk away. Like
But then we're back to the same thing. You get an injunction, you get a restraining order, it's the same, you're reaching the same point.
The problem is that a lot of women will claim emotional abuse or emotional, like psychological abuse, and it's not. He called me names, right? Whatever.
Like, this is a criminal.
Like I can show you the ones that
I've
done. I
mean, for the record, I think it happens just as much with men. Yeah. Let me pause you and add that. But
the ones that I see more are usually in the context of abandonment and domestic violence and in divorce, right? Because you file a DV, you automatically get possession of the house, you automatically get possession of the children. And then the judges
You're saying they
feminine.
Use it for leverage.
They use
so
it.
So what do you
no,
need to,
to
prove?
To get an advantage, you kick them out. If I had to do an exclusive use and possession hearing, I had to show that not only have the ability to pay for it, or I have to prove some semblance of alimony, right? I have a need, and he has the ability to pay, and he can go live somewhere else. He can pay both houses, right? I have to do that complicated presentation. I could just file it prima facie, just make the allegations. B hit me in the face with a open hand, and I suffered damages. I got hurt, right? That's it. I put that on there, whether it's true or not, whether I can prove it or not, doesn't make a difference. I got the house. I get the injunction. I get possession of the children. They'll have a case management conference for 15 minutes. Then we'll set a special set. And until that injunction is not resolved, you're not seeing your kids. You'll get supervised time sharing, maybe. So that's what you usually see. You see it in that dynamic, that there's no real violence.
What is that timeline between initial whatever and the
result? You're supposed to have it all resolved within 15 days. That's what
I was about to say. 15 days. It's pretty damn quick.
Oh, wow. And, but it, ask me how many times it gets resolved in the first hearing.
I mean, I see those injunctions go away all the time
when,
on my
when
side.
They're pro se's and they don't show up, right? Or they show up and it's, and the judge wants to hold it, but they said 20 of these things at the same time.
I see them get thrown out
is
all
this
the time.
Like an, I'm assuming this is an evidentiary hearing. People come to testify. Yeah. I saw him.
It gets noticed for trial.
Whatever.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of victims don't have evidence, too, right?
Yeah, and a lot of...
No, but evidence, I mean, like, you, the beaten a lot of spouse, time. Get up there and say, this is what he did to me, and then judge...
Yeah, but it's a he said, she said.
Right, but again, and it's a preponderance of an evidence standard, so that means that you have to prove the likelihood of that you were the victim, right? 50.00001% more likely that your version of the truth is the truth versus the other person's version, right? And since you're the proponent, and it's not hard to get an injunction, I win all the ones that I do, right? Like, it's very, very straightforward. If you're an abuser, you're an abuser, and it's easy to find different things, text messages.
I was going
to
say,
emails, you have
that
other
personality
witnesses.
Doesn't seem to be able to hold back well.
Now, again, when you were talking about with people that are actually domestic violence victims, I've dealt with several of them, and people that have battered women syndrome.
Yeah.
These are women that cannot look you in the eye. Like, I'm her attorney. She's sitting in front of me. We're going to go forward. I'm being overly aggressive because, of course, that's the way I am, right? I'm going to go, and we're gonna get this guy out of your life and all that. And then she's, like, looking down. Like, she is soft-spoken, willing to accept whatever he would propose. And I had to talk her, and then there's a lot of good programs for women that are actual victims like that.
There's
that
a lot of really great
counselors,
programs.
They come in with you, they hold your hand, there's advocates, there's shelters. So there's a lot of resources. But yeah, generally speaking, we're talking about women being abused as victims, even though there's a lot of men that do it too, that are victims. Because again, statistically, it's 80% like men beating on women, right? And men, it's not more. In my mind, because men don't report. Like, if you slap somebody in their face,
100%.
That person is not going to the police.
That's kind of the point I was making, which is from my end, we do more domestic violence cases for men than women, but most of those conversations are them sitting in our office, us asking questions and realizing that they absolutely have a case. It's just they don't even think of themselves that way. And oftentimes what I'll do is I'll pull out the power and control wheel we were just talking about. For anyone listening, you can Google that. The power and control wheel, and it literally just has a list of shit on it, like examples of types of domestic violence. And the list is like controlling your finances, you know, using derogatory slurs to talk to you or embarrassing you in front of friends. And again, none of these are like I punched you in the face, which is obvious. But when you put all these things together, like you're absolutely messing with someone's psyche. Like absolutely you are.
Yeah,
and I have these conversations
here,
and my clients will sit there. My clients will sit there like, oh, fuck, she does that. Oh, fuck, she does that, too. Like, and by the end of this conversation, we have 10 bullets that oh, fuck, you know?
For sure. But we're talking about two different things here.
And then I have to convince people they need to go to fucking therapy because that's what they should be doing.
Right. But this is all ultimately for some type of immigration here. Now, with this, we're talking about crime.
But
somebody going to jail.
Listen.
Because I controlled who your friends are and I controlled your money and whatever.
I get
bitch,
what you're
leave
saying.
Him. I mean, and if you can't, then we're not talking about domestic violence.
It's hard for victims that are real, like, again, have chronic domestic violence. But again, thankfully, it's a very small percentage. Most
it is,
of these things are, there's no history of domestic violence. She comes in or he comes in and they catch him being like, you know, with somebody else and whatever. And there's one blow up, right?
Jesus.
There's one deal.
Jesus.
They threw the phone across the room.
Right.
They smashed it into pieces.
Who are you calling? They grabbed the phone. They smashed the phone.
Oh, Lord.
That could be a felony.
It's a
chumaria, who she was calling, right? But
it wasn't me. No.
But these are the kind of things. It's a one-time incident. That's usually what it's
done. Cue Shaggy.
So wait, in this, hearing, 15 days. Let's say we believe because 50.0001, let's play it safe. Everybody has, an injunction now, a restraining order
it's
now?
It's not mutual. It's prohibited by law to do mutual injunctions. You have to grant each one on the merits of each one. So a lot of times you'll see reciprocal injunctions entered, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't change what the timesharing happens. So, for example, one obvious question would be like, well, she got an injunction, but it turns out that day she scratched me in my face, right? Because that's a common one.
What, you got to go get an injunction now too?
So you file your injunction.
Correct.
You'll get an injunction
I've had many
her.
Clients do this, file cross injunctions.
And then you end up having that the first person gets the kids, the second one doesn't, right? The first one gets the house, the second one doesn't. So it's a race to the courthouse. So again, not that it's perfect. Again, the problem I have with what you're suggesting with the emotional part of it, it's already tough and overly abused now, right? Again, then it does play a huge role. Because think about it, you get an injunction, a lot of times you have to report to your professional boards. Like if you're an attorney, you have to report to the bar, right? If you're a doctor, you lose your license, you lose your livelihood. So these are big stakes cases decided on preponderance of the evidence, right? It's again, and if you win an injunction, perhaps on behalf of a child, for example, it's tantamount to a parental termination of rights. Like, you don't get any more time sharing. You have to earn your rights back, and to terminate rights now, you have to prove by clear and convincing evidence. So
you're talking about after that 15-day hearing?
Yeah. So normally you'll get the 15-day hearing. It's the first time up. You don't go to trial that day. It's 20 other people, right? Same. It's a zoo. Everyone's waiting. Same. They bring you in. Okay, how much time do you think you need? They both speak Spanish. We need an hour. We need 2 hours, whatever. And they set a date, right? Then you come back on that date. If they hire another attorney, they're going to ask you for another continuance. So there goes another month or another month after that. So you'll have like 4 or 5 months where you don't see your kids. You're paying for this house. You don't have access to your things. You don't have access to your clothes. The judge is very, very protective of the victims, so they don't allow you to go there unless you go in with law enforcement to get your clothes.
Interesting.
Again, it's a lot of back and
forth. So timesharing does not commence even supervised or
you can ask for
with
it.
A lot of the middle person.
A lot of the judges are hesitant to give you supervised. They'll give you supervised here in family court services, which is about an hour if you're lucky, right? Or if you have means, you can go through like FACES, which is a private entity that does supervised time sharing, co-parenting classes, things like that. So it becomes like a task, right? And then everything that has to go on in the family case gets on pause until you resolve your domestic violence injunction. I had one that we recently got dismissed. We were representing the husband, and it was a setup. It was a complete setup. The lady was having her friends stay on Zoom and was turning off the monitor so all the friends could see. And she would bait him into getting into an argument. He'd get into an argument. And then in one of those things, she was on Zoom and he comes out in underwear. Right? And he freaks out and he turns off her phone and he goes to turn off the monitor because he's in his underwear in his house. And then she testified to the judge that it was like, oh, I was afraid. So that's why I had all my friends here to keep me company and watch. No, she wanted an audience. So she had 6 other witnesses to come in there and testify. Never, not one history, not
this
one history of domestic violence.
Like...
So this is my view of the world. Like, I see it get abused a lot. Like, if you're a victim, you're a victim, 100%. Nobody supports domestic violence. But what I see it turn into is that this is what I'm going to use to take all the things that I want away from you because I couldn't do it otherwise. Like, that lady, I think, is a teacher, and the other guy had his own business, but it was like an IT thing, so they were making like 40, 50 grand each. Nobody has money for attorneys. So this is like an economical way of like, ha, I got the house, I got the kids. You have to beg me to see them. You have to do all that stuff. And that's actually what our theory of the case was in that presentation. And the judge sided with us. Because it's like, it's clear. This wasn't something that rose to the level. There's no bruises. There's no scratches. There's no redness. The police were called. The police came and said, all right, I guess you guys should follow
the
judges. And then left.
To me, the most valid point of that story is at the end, you prevailed. Because that's the whole purpose of our justice system. Is to weed out those... is to weed out those abuses in the law, and I don't mean that as double entendre, but to weed out the people abusing the law and the system, and it sounds like you ultimately did, despite all the hardship along the way. So, I mean, I'm not a fan of decreasing, shall we say, protections, because one of these cases comes along every once in a while and fucks shit up.
I think for children, if you're going to do it on behalf of children, where there's a qualified a right to do corporal punishment, because that's still a thing in Florida. You can still hit your kids.
Oh, man, let's not talk corporal punishment.
But it's the law.
La chancleta.
Leave that for next time.
La chancleta.
This is the law in the state of Florida. But nonetheless, right, you have that qualified right. It's a qualified defense. Supreme Court here has interpreted it, right? You need something more, because if you're going to win a termination, again, you got to remember what's the level that we're dealing with. We're dealing with fundamental human rights, more than constitutional rights. The right to care and chair and decide things for your kids. Most of us work for our kids. I mean, I know you guys have 2 kids, right? You know, dog,
I mean, listen, I ain't hitting my dog.
He's got a whole soccer team.
I got 3 boys.
He's got a whole soccer team over there.
The only reason I put up with the craziness that I put up with is for them, right? So to put that at risk on something so trivial, such a low standard of 50.1%, I think is obnoxious. I think it really does a disservice to the children. You're depriving one parent of the other parent. And just because you fought with the other person doesn't mean you're going to do things to your children. There has to be something separate and apart. And again, unfortunately, it is tantamount to termination. A lot of judges, a lot of people don't like it. But again, it's something that is a taboo subject because then you look like you're pro-domestic violence, right?
For the record, Judge Padron is not pro-domestic violence.
But I do think that you need more.
This is not...
It's true.
A campaign issue.
I've had conversations
that he's running on.
No, no.
Okay, I think on that note, right. We're over time.
Vote for Manolo.
So, any final thoughts for our listening and viewing audience?
Family law is very complicated. Go contract a professional. Don't do it yourself. You have your life in your hands. If your kids really are important to you and your things are important to you, talk to somebody.
And put those kids to work.
That's right.
La reta está cara. You heard it here.
It's hard on these streets.
It's hard on these streets.
I think for me, the lesson is if it doesn't bring you income, inspiration, or orgasm, then it doesn't belong in your life.
Wow.
Call yourself a good family law attorney.
Excellent.
And that is all for today's episode of Law Shit You Should Know. Join us again next time.